Look at what it says in verse 21 of Exodus chapter 22. We see another batch of prescriptions to remedy justice issues. Okay? You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them, and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a moneylender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him. You hear that? You shouldn't charge interest to your people, says the law of God. If you ever take your neighbor's cloak in pledge, you should return it to him before the sun goes down, for that is his only covering, and his cloak for his body. In what else shall he sleep? And if he cries to me, I will hear. For I am compassionate, says God. So, sojourners, how do you treat travelers? Oh, I was just walking down and working at the lady's house down the road, and I noticed you need a little something on your house there. Can I help you with that? When that traveler comes up, how do you treat him? Right? What do you think when you drive past the people who are walking down the windy road to the caravan park? Those travelers, those sojourners. Yeah. Could we call the sojourner in this Bible verse a refugee? Right? So when God says, you know, be careful how you treat those people who aren't part of your culture and your machine, who are passing through and aren't attached to it, who have need. You were like that in Egypt. You got made into slaves. Those guys, they don't own land. They can't grow food. They gotta rub pennies together in order to get something going. And so we hear stories about the crime and the graft, and we decide those people, right? Gypsies. Yeah? Yeah. I don't really want to come to church and feel bad. Women and children, right? Please look out for them. God says, you matter. I see you. Have you been bereft of your means of support? Are you without the guy who was going to lead you through this world? Fatherless child? Maybe some of us have spouses and parents and still a great loneliness and a great separateness. And how are we as people treating those around us who are bereft and alone and need? Then bankers, you know what? Lending and collateral. And God just puts a finger right at them. And I don't know that we have a banker in the church, you know? I mean, we got some finance people. We got some people who crunch numbers for bankers, right? But God is not kind to those people. He says, look, if you take, I'm going to get you. Don't do it. And we do it. Our system is built on usury. The capitalist economy is built on usury and on income from capital. And so we do that. We've decided it's okay to do that. Now, I know that everybody works in the Bible. I know that people do work, but this says something about people in distress and people exploited. And so credit card debt, it ought to just make your skin crawl because it's this. So I'm not saying, you know, we all need to be, you know, one. When I'm with Mark, I'm way more Marxist than I am with all of you as I'm preaching right here. Yeah. I'm not saying that God says we all need to be socialist or more. But he does say don't hold down the poor by making them owe more, which is what the World Bank does to Africa, to South America, to Indonesia. That's how they work. They collect interest. You think we give aid. We give loans that they have to pay back. So the whole world is built on this exploitation. And then when the exploitation requires strong men, and they grow up bigger than their britches, and then they use their guns, and they're chasing each other across the country, And when the good people run from them and they burst across our borders and we say, oh, refugees, here come those refugees. Well, they're not all refugees, are they? Some of them are migrants. They're coming for our jobs. And why do we care about our jobs? Because we're squeezed too. By who? By the people who own stuff. Do you own stuff? My pension plan says I own a little bit of stuff. This is the world we're dealing with. It's not just Exodus chapter 22, far away, a long time ago, when God said something and he was a mean guy with a stick, before Jesus came and he was the kind guy with a cuddle. This is God. This is God who says justice. And Jesus who says justice with those tables back there, knock them over. Justice. Are you charging interest to people who buy doves to worship my Father? Justice. And that's what we got going on here. Justice. Like the Israelites, we are accountable for our communities. Justice issues. Comes out of Scripture. And when we suffer, God hears our calls for justice. When humanity stifles the calls for justice, God hears our cry. All of these things going on, these people that are dying over there, Vladimir Putin is like fire raining from the skies on people who are chasing people out of their country. I know this question about, is he doing it the right for all the right guys? And, oh, we like those terrorists. Those are freedom fighters. We don't like those people. Those are terrorists. Right? But while everybody was doing nothing, some guy went and did a big old something. God uses anybody to get things to stop and people killing children unless they say, I deny Jesus and I am now going to follow Allah. And these kids whose parents raised them to stand in front of a man with a knife and go, I will not deny Christ. And these parents who have to see their children die, oh God, I couldn't face it. I apologize for summoning up the idea in a sermon, but it's happening right now and we're not heads in the ground. It is happening. And it took the Russians to go wham. God says, I will hear justice. And if they call to me, I will smack you down. ISIS. Or Israel. Wow, I got excited. I made myself excited right there. Am I boring the snot out of you? Look at chapter 22, verse 28, what it says there. You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. Do you know what revile means? You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. You shall not delay to offer from the fullness of your harvest and from the outflow of your presses. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. You shall do the same with your oxen, with your sheep. 7 days it'll be with its mother, and on the eighth day you shall give it to me. You shall be consecrated to me, people of God. And therefore you shall not eat any flesh that's torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. Revile, kalal, if you cared about the Hebrew, if you could remember for 3 seconds past when I just said it, means to be slight, to be swift, to be trifling, of little esteem. You shall not deal with God like, meh. Ah. When God comes up where you are, it's God. It's not just, oh, he's preaching. I hope he doesn't preach too long, but he's preaching right now, so I'm listening. It's God. You shall not revile God. Walk around in your life and go, meh, God, and you just did that. You shall not revile God or curse a ruler of your people. Jesus said, you would have no power unless my Father gave it to you, Pilate. Right? You know, pay your taxes to Caesar. It's his head on the coin. Pray for rulers and people in positions of authority so that we may live peaceful lives. You shall not revile God or curse a ruler of your people because God put them there and they're there for you. And if you're not doing anything wrong, they're not against you. And if they're doing poorly, they need your help. Don't curse them. You pay politicians to take a beating. That's what people say. But they need our help. They're trying to lead and they have no clue. Do you know they have no clue? Because you can hear them talking. They need a team around them. The churches where it's a pastor trying to run something and the place turns as ugly or as beautiful as one person and only gets as much done as one person is a sad place. And we visit those places. We know where they are. Right? In a place where it's given out and it's wide and God says, don't take me lightly and don't curse a ruler of your people, but be the people who love me and serve me and work all together to get this done and give me your best. That's it. Just give me your best. That's good. God is better than that. That trifle. He's better than that. He's worth more. He's worth more than the joke in the lunchroom that disregards him completely. He's worth more than the light esteem of this person massacring children because they walk with him. Yeah. And we're better than that. We're able to remember and to bring him with us where we go. And the world needs to see it. The world needs to see it. I'm not saying do more, be more, get out there, hit the road, hit the bricks. I'm saying don't take it lightly and just shine, Jesus, shine. And then when this little light of mine, don't blow it out. It's all the stuff we already know. Not loving in name, in just declaration, right? But the loving just God who hears our cry, he will not be taken lightly. We're called to justice, I think, in this world. And why? Because we're his. And to stand for that and to be wonderful, that's the call. The loving and just God who hears our cry will not be taken lightly. Not by Egypt, right? Because we're in Exodus. Not by Rome, right? Because the New Testament happened mostly under their umbrella, right? Not by Westminster. Not by Holyrood. He will not be taken lightly. Not by Jerusalem, and not by Samaria, and not by Tehran, and not by Gaza. He will not be taken lightly. Since the giving of the law at Sinai, God's people are responsible to form just societies. And so Christians stand where you are, wherever your little place of influence is, and the rest of the world should reflect that.